The Six Pointer Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Six Pointer Podcast. Immediate post-match reaction to Crystal Palace's victory at home to Aston Villa.
What's the score, bruv?
Well, I can't quite remember, bruv. What was the score?
I must have announced a tactics. Let's see with my Guinness. 5-0 Crystal Palace. 5-0. You know what? I said it was going to be 4-1. Should have cashed out. 5-0 though, I'll take that. That was lovely because, we did well today. Did very well.
At Six Pointer Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. This is an important one for many reasons. One, because we won 5-0. And I think the last time we talked about such a goal haul was Leeds away 5-1 in the last season,
you're
I reckon.
Right there. Yeah, I think you're right.
So that's important.
Obviously close at the Man United game we had a few weeks back, the 4-0, but...
This was five, sorry.
One more.
Secondly, because we look like Brazil today. Absolutely fantastic performance from Palace, and hats off to Glasner and the team for getting them playing that way. Thirdly, because you won a few pennies today. How much did you win today?
I think it's 50p on it. £1.50.
Times that by a few.
Yeah. No, I did well today, bruv. Did well. We're celebrating here in the Bridge House in Penge, a familiar place. I feel like a hunting ground for the post-match pods because it's been a while since I've been here actually. Done it. Might have been a season, maybe a season and a half, but the sun was out. It was out, as you can buy the cloud, but still nice and warm, 23 degrees. It was a party atmosphere at Sellers Park today.
It was.
Make no doubt about it. I said to you after we went 2-0 up, it could be 6 or 7 here, bruv. Like, it really should have been. And we were complete domination of an Aston Villa team that looked... I mean, look, they achieved what they needed to. I don't think there was any real determination from the Aston Villa side today. They just were there to make up the numbers. And at times, Alan Joyce is going to hate this, but it looked like a training ground exercise. It really did. It was total football from Crystal Palace at times.
I don't like this analogy, but people talk about having the flip flops on and being on the beach, right. And Aston Villa very much were that.
Yeah, you could smell the piss win, couldn't you?
Piss win, brilliant. You can buy some piss win with your winnings. I mean, I took a few photos today, and if you do have photography needs, don't forget to check out our sponsors.
Graphic Vision DK, which is now the official sponsor of the Six Pointer Podcast, for all your media needs in the Upper Jutland area in Denmark. I know we have a lot of fans who listen in Denmark, so Graphic Vision DK, check it out. Anna's, you'll enjoy that one.
And a 10% discount if you mention the pod.
Don't say that. Didn't agree to that.
Sorry, 20% discount.
50%, I reckon, Anna's. Half price.
Working free. For free.
Weddings for free, I reckon. No, that is not valid. That is not valid.
Put in code 6 Pointer Podcast.
He can't put a code in. Don't worry about it. Just send him some abuse and a quote. It'll be fine.
In the checkout, put Anders.
I'm leaving this in.
But all seriousness, big up Anders and the crew. Like you said, a brilliant performance from Palace. It's been the reoccurring theme for the last few weeks, and I hesitate to say it's been a joy to watch Palace in recent weeks. You know, we have really put in some great performances. I mean, look, we were concerned, right? And let's not pretend on this pod that we are not risk adverse. You know, the sacking, well, not the sacking, but the moving on of Roy, with health reasons being cited, but also it got to a point where things are turned.
It was inevitable, anyways.
Things are turned, hadn't they? And you know, we had a tricky few games under Glasner in his first few. You know, scrape the
barring
game.
The Burnley game, obviously,
which we scraped, to be honest, yeah. Though, bro.
And then after that, the performances weren't great, to be honest.
And it was kind of a case of, you know, a few results that, again, under Roy, I think the crowd would have been very much on the club, on the team's back. But I think maybe having the new manager gave them an opportunity to not have that sort of weight on their backs. And I think it has definitely turned. I mean, let's face it, the two summer signings, January signings in Walton and Munez have been absolutely fantastic. You know, for two signings in January to start week in, week out since the beginning, basically, has been fantastic. And then obviously you've had two top players in Eze and Elise week in, week out. It's made all the difference, those four, hasn't it?
I think I'm going to have to correct you both. I say in three top players, because Jean-Philippe Mateta's resurrection has been nothing short of fantastic. I said to you today a couple of times when he was through on goal, I have no doubt now that he is going to score. That is a man in such confidence. And we started to see it under Roy as well, in the sense that his hold-up play was a lot better. You know, he was using his body more, something which was a frustration of mine watching him. And maybe this is just the fact that it's par for the course of buying these young strikers that, you know, have these attributes, that they just need to learn how to use them, how to coach into them. And Roy was coaching in the sort of the hold up play, and under Glasner, you know, you've got someone who's learning him how to finish and hit the back of net more regularly now. And he looks, I don't know what the word is, emphatic. He is a player that you would
confidence in, yeah, crowd,
you would put your mortgage on when he threw a goal and that man scoring now. It would be a shock if he put it wide or hit the goalkeeper. But today, a hat trick for Jean-Philippe Mateta. I think he joins esteemed company in Yannick Bolasie, and I want to say Chris Armstrong as well. And
what game
did
Armstrong?
AJ get free in one, maybe in the Premier League? I don't know.
Game's Chris Armstrong got free?
I don't know, but I seem to remember when Bolasie scored, they cited Chris Armstrong as him being.
Oh, I have to look this up, mate.
I don't know, but yeah.
Bolasie's away at Sunderland, right?
Yeah, Bolasie was away at Sunderland. But anyway, there's a handful of players that have scored Premier League hat tricks for Crystal Palace, and he's now joined that sort of, I would say, top three, top five. And wrote his name into history books, and people talking about Gaye and when he was subbed today, perhaps that was a bit of a sight to him leaving, or could be just be he hasn't played many games.
Well, he played centre mid today. I mean, yeah, centre mid is a in that team is a very, very hard going position, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a deep line centre mid, but like he did really well in that. But I did expect, I said to you earlier in the game, I did expect him and Richards to sort of switch a little bit, which didn't happen. I mean, I know he dropped back a few times and sort of made that defensive line even more so resolute, but he was very good today. I mean, bruv, we can look across the pitch at the sort of performance today. Tyrick Mitchell was fantastic. Dean Henderson, who kept a clean sheet and made a couple of important saves. Nathaniel Klein, again, who's slipping into that sort of centre right back role and doing outstandingly well. Yeah. Munoz was full of energy once again. I don't know where that energy comes from, that man. Adam Wharton was fantastic. Yeah, so it was a great all-round performance from Crystal Palace, capped off by a hat-trick from Jean-Philippe Mateta. And I'd be worried about clubs coming in for him now. I know there was a BBC News article on Friday or Thursday about PSG being in for him. I just think that's the case, that Mbappe's gone, they want a Frenchman to replace him. But yeah, he's another one that you now think that if he does go, having to purchase him for what, 12.5-15 million, whatever it was, yeah, Palace be looking at sort of 50 million plus for him. But again, who do you buy to replace a man in that sort of form or that sort of goal scoring prowess?
We talked long and hard on this pod earlier on in the year about the fact that we needed a goal scorer, and that was the big gap we had, yeah, in our team. And I think we had that player all along, and he was a bit of a joke, to be fair, right? He was a cult, bald on a cult figure, because things he tried and did only ever came off. Yeah, yeah, but often they only ever came off when it was like the slip or came off his back, or, you know, he tried to control it and missed it, and, you know, it was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sort of a could be. And like you say, but then he scored the goal against Brighton. I mean, I was thinking of the Mill goal.
Yeah, yeah, the header.
You know, yeah, and those made him a pretty much a cult figure, and I think now, you know, he is. Oh, I've got my Mateta t-shirt, mate. You know, he is definitely a Palace cult hero, and he will be known now not just for, oh, look at him fluffing this and fluffing that, and he scored a couple of important goals. Now a regular Premier League goal scorer. And the thing is, all the talk about him, every window is a bit about him going. You know, they talked about him going, and then for a laugh, he scored the hat trick at Plymouth in the League Cup. You know, then
gets him at the club apparently.
Yeah, and then the January window, or will he, won't he? And fair play to him, he has turned it around in the last three, four months to become someone who people actually talk about now as a top class Premier League striker. And, you know, we've got Edwards come off the bench and others who, you know, he's kind of left behind. He's left them behind, and well done to him, mate. Well done to him. Really pleased him, because also because he seems like a top bloke.
I think that's 16 goals from this season now, bruv. And I think in the Premier
plus
League,
three in the league. Cup.
I don't know if it counts that or not. I'm not sure. I need to have a look at that. But I know it's 16 goals from this season. I think that is still in the Premier League era the most since Andrew Johnson, the score for Crystal Palace. I really think, because I think Wilf got 12 once, or 10 or 11 or 12 once, but
he just got to double figures, yeah.
But I think that is, and that's ridiculous, isn't it? When you think about the turnaround from this player, I mean, you think about, like you say, a player that was lambasted as being a bit of a, like, it was a punt, I think, for on a loan originally from Mainz. And then, was it Mainz? It was, wasn't it? It's Mainz as well.
I think so.
You touched me, thing, hang on. Yeah, it was Mainz. You don't touch me. A loan originally from Mainz, and there we go, look. 2 goals, 5 goals, 2, 2, 16.
But the difference is, bruv, that it's continuous starts, right?
Yeah,
before it was very much in and out of team. They swapped between him and Eddie, because to be fair, neither of them were performing.
But what we said, though, wasn't it, always before, was that when Eddie also got a run, yeah, he seemed to find a bit of form and run. But it's difficult when for a player, I guess, or a striker at Crystal Palace, when you've got this sort of system where you are only going to play one big man up front, one front man. You know, neither of them are going to get, but not both of them are going to get a run at the same time. So, look, JP's taken the opportunity and run with it, literally, and found his finishing boots and found his physical shoulders and been able to sort of bully people. And he's been a joy to watch, I must admit. Like, from everything from the watch tapping when the goalkeeper's holding on to the ball too long to his kicking the corner flag and everyone going boom, boom, boom. Because at the moment, In the Premier League, on form, there ain't no striker better than Jean-Philippe Mateta.
Well, look, we're not going to do the pod that we're going to do on Thursday with Kev now, because it's tempting to talk about...
What are we doing on Thursday?
What's going on Thursday?
You haven't mentioned, have you? What are we doing on Thursday? What's happening Thursday?
How can you not mention Thursday?
What's happening Thursday?
I thought you'd mention Thursday.
I haven't mentioned Thursday.
Oh,
what's happening Thursday, Matthew?
Thursday. Well, Kev is back with us.
The
big K. He's back on the pod on Thursday to do our end of season review. And what a time to do it. What a time to do it. So don't forget, if you've got questions, comments, thoughts, particularly if you've got questions for Kev. I want to hear questions for Kev. I want to know, you know...
What happened to the boots?
Go personal, you know, ask him some quiet, you know, sensitive questions, you know. He'll enjoy that. So, yeah, please drop us a message at Six Pointer Podcast, Instagram and Twitter.
I should say, bruv, thank you for all those who have been asking where we are, what we've been doing, especially the Danish lads. I'd appreciate it. I've been to a couple of games out in Esbjerg recently and not done the pod. I blame Anna's. Graphic Vision DK for all your media needs.
Don't forget the discount code.
But no, I think that we just got carried away a bit, especially the last one with a few or too many beers. But we'll be there for Middelfart away on Friday, and then the last home game of the season as well, which will be a party with the SPF SUs anyway. But look, back to today and back to Crystal Palace. Matthew, your man of the match.
How can you look past the hat-trick hero? I mean, this is the thing, right, bruv? Seriously, to an individual, every single one of them today was brilliant. Even the goalkeeper, who had not much to do.
A couple of good saves, though.
There was a Villa's only good patch in that game was in the first half. I want to say about 15 minutes in, when they had a corner and a couple of efforts, and Henderson had to tap one around the post, whether or not it was going in or not. And I think he also had to make a save to his right hand side. But apart from that, like, seriously, it was all Palace, and you know. They were more dominant, in fact, than the stats suggest, I think. And for the listeners who can hear, there's someone enjoying the result as much as we are in the background there.
In Pedge West, yeah, going down Pedge Road.
Yeah. So look, I don't want to say too much more, bruv. You know, yeah, I thought they were brilliant today, brilliant, and it tops off a fantastic run, tops off what has been a really, really nice end to the season. And I mean, I know obviously on the pod we are. We were big fans of Roy, and it was a shame the way it ended, how it ended. However, in some ways, I'm kind of pleased that it ended with him departing Palace on nice, positive terms in the scheme of things, and Palace can now sort of look forward and build, and it's a really exciting opportunity. More to come on Thursday on that.
Well,
go on.
Very much what Patrick Vieira said when he took over and he had his purple patch at the start as well, that, you know, he owes a lot to Roy Hodgson and the foundations which that man had laid in the club, the fact that they were so professional, the fact that they were so well-drilled defensively. I have no doubt that that has also paid homage to sort of Roy in this recent strike as well. You've got that defensive solidity, albeit, you know, we were conceding goals very late on as well, but that sort of rigid shape and sort of determination, and you've had to add a bit of attacking prowess to it, which has been great to watch. And it's been, let's be honest, bruv, at times champagne football. And I appreciate we haven't talked much about Aston Villa today, maybe because they didn't really show up, but I think that it was a fantastic performance from Crystal Palace, a fantastic end of the season from Crystal Palace. I don't know what the table looks like between sort of January now, but I'm sure Palace will be up there. I think that given today's result and Man City's result, Palace are the second form team in the league to finish right now, which is outstanding. And I think that,
well, mate, we were 3 points off ninth.
Yeah, I mean,
with a better goal difference to West Ham by some, you know, by 13. So it's a very impressive.
And this is the highest finish that we've had. 10th, or did we finish 10th? We finished 10th under Pulis, didn't we? Yeah, yeah, okay. But I think points total might be more under Pulis as well. But
and
yeah,
for those who have a dislike to Brighton,
obviously feeling the buzz of them as well. Yeah, but how did Millwall do this season?
Well, what happened there then?
I don't know what happened, but shame. Anyway, Thursdays to come. Thursday questions to come. In at 6 Point Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Get your questions in. We're going to be covering goal of the season, player of the season. What else of the season?
Kev of the season.
Kev of the season, moment of the season, Kev's boots of the season. What is Kev going to wear?
Oh, mate. Well,
he's working from home, so might turn up in just spare pants, who knows? Opportunity for a shock.
This is, yeah. If Kev turns up in his lingerie, we'll ask even different questions on that one. Right, I'm going to wrap it up there before it goes any further. Don't forget to get your questions in at 6 Point Podcast, Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the evening. We certainly will. And as always, up the palace.
The 6 Pointer Podcast.